Item number 27 from Corporation Counsel and the Pension Board of the Employees Retirement System, County of Milwaukee, requesting authorization to amend various sections of Chapter 214.24 of the Milwaukee County Code of General Ordinances to comply with Internal Revenue Service Code requirements. This item was also referred to the Pension Study Commission on May 13th. The Commission approved this item by a vote of 5-0.
Good afternoon. Good
afternoon, Mr. Chairman. Mark Grady, Deputy Corporation Counsel. With me is Steve Huff from the Reinhart Firm, our outside counsel to the pension system, in particular for tax matters. What you have before you are a series of ordinance amendments. The bulk of them relate to compliance with the federal law change in 2002. The acronym is EGTRRA, the name of the federal law that was passed in 2002, changing the IRS code. There have been a couple since then, the Pension Protection Act and the HART Act. There's a couple amendments in here related to that as well. Those provisions do not directly affect very many of our members, but the IRS requires that we amend our provisions to include them to the extent that they might someday. I'm not sure how best to describe these other than it's our position that they are required in order for the county to maintain its consistency with the IRS code. I'll let Mr. Huff speak to this more if you'd like. In addition to the VCP filing that we talked about this morning, the county has, and it always has, like every other plan sponsor, filed with the IRS for what's called a determination letter, which is every IRS establishes cycles, and on those cycles you have to ask the IRS to review your plan and approve its tax qualification status. And these ordinance amendments were included in our filing with the IRS for a determination letter in 2008, I believe.
2009.
We have not yet received a response to that either, but they are included as ordinance amendments that we would be recommending and making to maintain the tax qualified status. At agenda setting, the Chairman, you asked for information on which, if any, of these ordinance amendments might affect the purchase of service issue that we discussed on item one this morning. And so I provided the committee with a supplemental memo that addresses that question. There is only one of these ordinance amendments that has anything to do with purchases of service, and it is section 10 of the resolution, and it's an amendment to section 12.4 sub 1 of the ordinances, and that relates to the contributions made to a member's account for the purchase of service, what is referred to as annual additions to the member's account. And in, as I said this morning, the IRS code in the 90s generally placed a 25% limit on that amount of compensation that could be contributed to a member's account. In 2002, Congress changed that to the lesser of $40,000 or 100% of compensation. To be consistent with the IRS code, we need to retroactively change our limit to that same limit, $40,000 or 100% of compensation. The consequence of that is, of the people who we've been discussing as having errors in the administration of their plan, there are 9 individuals who had an error related to their purchase of service that is this error, and this ordinance amendment will have the effect of curing any issues with respect to their purchase of service. There are another 101 people who also have this error in their administration. It will cure that error for them, but those 101 people have other errors, like the 457 error or the 2-year error, and so it will not be a complete cure for those 101 people. That would require other ordinance amendments that are not in this package. So I think that's the report that you're looking for. You do have a bullet point summary that Mr. Huff put together summarizing the various sections. You have an actuarial report from the actuary indicating that because these because the Retirement System Office has always operated consistent with the IRS code, even when contrary to the ordinances, in order to maintain compliance with the IRS code, there is no increased actuarial cost from adopting these ordinances. You're basically confirming the way the plan has been operated.
Got anything to add? Or are you, Supervisor Jersey?
I don't know if I misunderstood what you said. You talked about the letter, the voluntary correction program, and I think I heard you say you did not get a response, but the corrections are included within these ordinance changes. Did I hear that correctly?
Well, the VCP plan is the voluntary correction plan filing that was made in 2007, and that was to deal with the purchase of service issues. At least initially, that's what it was for. It's a separate process, and maybe I should let Mr. Huff talk about this, a separate process to get your tax qualification letter, the determination letter, different part of the IRS than handles the other thing. And so that was filed in 2009 on cycle. We have a cycle we have to file. And so at that point, you tell them, here's our plan, all the rules we have. You know, take a look at it, tell us that we're consistent with the IRS code. But as part of that, we know that we don't have the consistency because we didn't adopt the changes in 2002 that the federal law Congress made. So we tell them that when you review this, assume that we are also going to pass these additional amendments so that we can maintain that consistency. So, and we have gotten a response on neither of those things from the IRS.
And, I mean, I'm waiting for the conclusion, I think. So we do include them in the ordinance changes even without the determination letter. Yes?
Yes,
no?
That's what you have here. Yes.
The answer is yes.
Yes.
Okay, that's what I thought you indicated. And, you know, I heard this morning people saying that they couldn't believe IRS didn't respond. I know that's a fairly common practice with IRS, in fact, especially in these fields, but anyone who has dealt with estate taxation, et cetera, you close estates all the time without ever getting, you know, clearance letters. It's quite a frequent occurrence, and I know a lot of attorneys get very nervous about it because you never really know if you've taken care of the tax issue. But that happens, and I understand that. That was going to be my question. I assume there must be a procedure in which you believe you're doing correct practice, which you are attempting to carry out. If you never hear back from IRS, I assume we eventually do what we are required to do, probably notify IRS again that we've done it, even if you don't get that response. I mean, is that a fair statement?
I think that is, Supervisor. I think that's a good way to put it. to go back to the beginning, and this is what Mark said, but to reiterate it, the plan, ERS, must be qualified both in form and in operation. So the form of it is the ordinances and the rules, and that was submitted, as Mr. Grady said, in 2009 to the Internal Revenue Service, the branch that handles determination letter requests. And that is still pending. When they finally do issue the letter, you have 91 days from the issuance of that letter to pass the amendments that are before you now. So part of the goal is to get these done now. There's another little part to that, which is in another year, you'll be required to submit to the Internal Revenue Service again because, as Mr. Grady said, there's a cycle that you go on. So you'll be required to submit again, even if you don't have the first determination letter. We have a lot of clients that don't get the first one before they have to submit the second. And so these would then be submitted with them as either proposed if they're not passed or as passed if they are, hopefully it passed. And then Mr. Grady's right also on the form. We've talked about the form on the operation that the pension system must operate in accordance with the ordinances even if they haven't been passed yet. So in operation, ERS has been operating as if these were in effect. So that then is submitted as part of that VCP filing that was filed in 2007, and it says these weren't done timely, they weren't amended timely, But these are the ordinance amendments that will be adopted, and rest assured that the plan is operating in compliance with them, even though they're not.
So, I mean, this is all very technical stuff.
Yeah.
I would like you to advise this board whether you're recommending we adopt this resolution and the ordinance changes. Is that
yes.
your recommendation?
Yes, these are essentially the 2002 set, a set that we in fact did recommend in 2002, but there was the turmoil, and we recommend them now as well as the others that have come up since then, yes.
And as far as you can advise us, we will be in compliance by adopting this.
Yes.
And are there any other outstanding issues that we need to address? I mean, hopefully we're not always going to wait this long to address things. Do we know of any others?
No. If there were, we would include them or would include them in the future. The other thing that you do know, because it's been raised, is that it does provide a correction for some of the operational violations. One of the amendments does, and you're aware of that.
Mr. Chair, based on advice of counsel, I would move adoption.
Okay. Supervisor Lipscomb?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I just had a question going back to that issue of the rule about the purchase of service credit using the higher percentage of your average salary. Because the rule became effective in 2002, I'm trying to understand the way we're changing it is to make it apply to everyone, or did all 101 of those people make that purchase after 2002?
The latter, Supervisor.
Okay.
There are additional people, not in my supplemental memo, who made the purchase in the 90s that are not affected by today's action. That may come later, but not affected by today's action. We're just making the ordinance amendment retroactive to the same date the congressional act became effective.
Right. So relative to to this portion of the issue, prior to 2002, it was permissive that the IRS would allow you to have that in your plan, or not.
No.
And now
prior to 2002, you could not.
You could not. So that portion of this could never be corrected for the. So the people who are pre 2002, there won't be a fix for that.
We've had discussions with the agent handling the VCP, and you know, I totally understand that it's very hard to understand how IRS could have this filing for so long. As Mr. Grady said, we filed hundreds of these. None have lasted nearly half as long as this one. But they're not used to dealing with government plans. Almost all of the ones they have, the only proposal is to adopt retroactive amendments. That's what corporations do, and that's the only thing that they have in as a consideration. So here there are other requests being made. It's with a government plan specialist in Seattle who doesn't want anybody else touching it. Although it's been called up to Washington to the head of the division to look at. And so it's taken quite some time. In that process of discussion, we did ask the question, could they adopt a retroactive amendment prior to 2002 to provide that correction? His answer was no, but he did seem amenable to a different correction, which is what Mr. Grady is talking about. And so you may see in the next week or so a different type of amendment that would attempt to make that correction.
Thank you.
Supervisor Hawks. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I believe this was before the Pension Study Commission a few days ago. Good to see you again, Mr. Huff.
Yes.
And in my examination of the documents, although some of it was pretty dense, it seemed to be at the same time relatively straightforward. That was a conclusion shared by my committee members. I'm here to tell you that much. Thank you, Chair.
Mr. Chairman, just to that point, when we discussed this morning, and there was a discussion about ordinance amendments being in front of the county board in 2007, at that point, it was a mixture of ordinance amendments, you know, these ordinance amendments plus other discretionary ordinance amendments. We made a conscious decision this time to break them into two pieces. It's our belief these are the ordinance amendments that really are not discretionary, that you need to do to comply with the IRS. You will perhaps get a second set of ordinance amendments that are discretionary at a later date, but we've tried to separate them out that way. And so it's very dense, it's very complicated, but it's our opinion that they need to be done. This set needs to be done.
We're going to move to adopt, a motion to adopt this. Is there any other discussion? Thank you for your presentation. No other discussion. Would you take the roll, please?
Supervisors Haas.
Aye.
Schmidt.
Aye.
Roma West.
Aye.
Jurczyk.
Aye.
Lipscomb.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Mr. Chair.
Aye.
7 ayes, 0 noes. The motion to recommend item number 27 for adoption prevails.